world can be defined as that system headed by Satan that leaves God out. So the reason God doesn't want you to love the world is that his enemy runs it, because it is operated by Satan. So it's no wonder that he doesn't want us to love somebody that doesn't love him and actually doesn't love you either.
Today on the Songtime broadcast, we're going to hear from Dr. Tony Evans. As we continue our study in the book of 1 John, we'll talk about divided loyalties. Are we going to align ourselves with the kingdom of God, or will we get swept into the temptation of the treasures of this world that are passing away? Stay tuned for that message, but first, we're going to be talking about the book of Proverbs. It's time for a Proverb a Day in May, and today we'll be joined by author Anthony Salvaggio as we talk about how to make that a regular practice in our lives. The many voices are coming together for that one message. I'm your host, Adam Miller. You're listening to Songtime Radio. Every year, we do our series, A Proverb a Day in May. We want to challenge our readers to read, wisdom literature and to get into God's Word. But Proverbs really serves in many different capacities, helping people get wisdom, helping people understand all aspects of life, and also learning how to interpret Scripture and apply it to various means of their life. And as is as a challenge every year, we want to bring resources that will help you to see how the book of Proverbs can impact your day-to-day living and your walk with Christ. It's a real privilege today to be joined by Anthony Salvaggio. He's written a book called A Proverb-Driven Life, Timeless Wisdom for Your Words, Work, Wealth, and Relationships. All of those topics, all in one book. It's really great to have him with us today. Anthony, thank you so much for being a part of the many voices for that one message.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It's a joy to be here.
Why don't you get started by telling us a little bit about yourself and your background? What is it about the book of Proverbs in particular that was so meaningful for you to write a book about it?
Well, my background, just give it briefly. I've gone between being a lawyer and a pastor in my career. So I'm currently serving as a pastor here in Rochester, New York. And so I'm in the pulpit every Sunday at the Rochester Christian Reformed Church in Penfield here, Rochester, New York. And what drew me to the book of Proverbs was that I looked around. Now, I wrote the book in 2008, so it's a little bit it's a bit back there. But if you think about it, in 2007, the iPhone was released. And so this is a time when there was this explosion in information. Social media was ramping up. Everyone had, was beginning to have a smartphone. And I kind of saw that type of change, that we were in this information culture. And it didn't seem to be making us any smarter. And we look at it now in retrospect of, 15 more years down the road, and that's certainly been borne out, right? We have amazing access to information. Each and every individual has at their hands, the world's knowledge. And yet, we don't seem to be any better people, citizens, or Christians, because it's true in the Christian world too. There's tons of stuff available, but we don't seem to be better. And that's really where wisdom comes in, because wisdom is distinct from your information or knowledge. It's really the skillful application of knowledge to life. And that's kind of the disconnect. And I wanted to address that, to speak into that. And the Bible offers this incredible book, which it does exactly that. It calls us to seek wisdom rather than mere information. So that's what really drove the process.
It's interesting because we do live in the information age, and this was preceding all of the information age we have with the iPhones and computers. We live in an age where information is ready and right at our fingertips, but you're right, it doesn't seem to have made us much wiser or much more discerning in the information that we take in. With all that information, is it a troublesome thing? I mean, information seems to be a positive. Why doesn't it make us better?
Well, because I think what happens is one is like a shortened attention span or a confusion of the difference between knowing something and being able to do something. So I give a simple example. I love having YouTube videos that help you do home improvements. And a lot of them work, but oftentimes you could watch a video, you could understand how to do it. And I did this once with plumbing, and you know, and then I actually tried to do it, right? I knew all the steps, I knew all the parts I needed to buy, but there's a skill involved in it at the last moment. It's not merely following a set of instructions. And that really is what I think the book of Proverbs is getting at, is that this kind of skillful use of information. And I think that's what's lacking. We know stuff, but we're not really applying God's word in our lives, particularly as Christians. We know a lot of stuff, but we don't seem to be able to be better at it. And so I think by focusing on Proverbs, by using that, I love what you're doing about focusing on a proverb a day, is to begin to contemplate wisdom. What does it mean to skillfully speak? You know, we talk all the time. We have all of this ability to comment and social media and all of these things. What does it mean to use words skillfully? You know, that's the difference, I think, is that kind of skillful use of things that bring thriving, flourishing, that help people to live faithfully. So I think it's that kind of thing that I think is most distinct between wisdom and information.
Now, wisdom and the fear of the Lord go hand in hand, and yet we talk about wisdom in a very secular sense. People can be smart, and people can have intelligence, and even discernment. They can be successful in business without fearing the Lord. Why are those side by side in the book of Proverbs when we can almost simply separate them within our society?
Yeah, and there's some acknowledgement that wisdom is kind of a universal gift. So there's a sense, I think, of common grace in it. And, you know, obviously, if you study the book of Proverbs, you'll know that some of this information, some of these proverbs were beyond the borders of Israel. They're wisdom from other cultures. And I think that that's still true. God blesses with wisdom. But the most important decision, you know, if the book of Proverbs essentially sets before us a path of wisdom and folly, you can be the fool, you can be the wise. And the most essential first decision you make is whether to follow the Lord Jesus Christ or not. That's the ultimate key, overarching decision between wisdom and folly. And so if there can be wise people in our world, and thankfully there are, right? I want to go to a wise surgeon, you know, I get my colonoscopy, I want that person to be wise and skillful in what they do. But that is not enough. As you mentioned, it's the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's that choice to follow God and that path. It's Psalm 1, right? It's this kind of decision to pursue the ultimate source of wisdom, which is God. That's so important. And I think that separates general wisdom, common grace wisdom, whatever you want to call it, cultural wisdom, and that which is particularly Christian wisdom.
We've been talking with author Anthony Salvaggio. His book is called A Proverbs-Driven Life, Timeless Wisdom for Your Words, Work, Wealth, and Relationships. You can find out more information about his book by giving us a call. It's 508-362-7070. That's 508-362-7070. Well, today we're continuing our study in the book of 1 John, and we're looking at the wisdom of the apostle, the beloved apostle, who is reminding us how to have fellowship with God. We know that Jesus has already established in his Sermon on the Mount that you cannot have divided loyalties. You cannot say you love God and love money. The two do not go hand in hand. You will either serve the one and hate the other, or vice versa. Jesus' instruction here is what is guiding the message of the Apostle John. As he talks about how to have fellowship with God, he is pointing out that we cannot have divided loyalties in this relationship. Either we are in the light or we are in darkness. Whether we are in sin or whether or not we are in hatred towards our brothers, what causes us to be out of fellowship with God is when we are tied to the treasures of this world, tied to vengeance, tied to sin, tied to the pleasures that this world has to offer. John is calling us to deny and forsake all of the things that are passing away so that we can cling to the things that are eternal. Here, Tony Evans takes us to 1 John chapter 2 as we dive into this reminder that we are to not love the treasures of this world.
God wants you to understand a principle. 1 John was written to Christians. So what I'm sharing with you today applies if you are a believer. The book is not telling sinners how to get saved. He's telling saints how to experience intimate fellowship with God and how to lose it. And so he wants to unveil to us a number of principles that if you get it would be life transforming on earth, because you're looking at your earthly existence from heaven's perspective. Do not love the world. So the first question we must answer is, what do we mean by world? The Greek word is the word cosmos. When you talk about the physical cosmos, you're talking about the earth. But in this context, he's talking about the spiritual cosmos. So he's not talking about the physical place. He's talking about the spiritual reality located on the physical place. And he calls that the world. The world can be defined as that system headed by Satan that leaves God out. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, that this world lies in the hand of the evil one. So the reason God doesn't want you to love the world is that his enemy runs it, because it is operated by Satan. So it's no wonder that he doesn't want us to love somebody that doesn't love him and actually doesn't love you either, if you love him. It is that organized system headed by Satan that leaves God out. World relates to a central theme surrounded by spokes. If I talk to you about the world of finance, well, I'm including banks, and I'm including credit unions, and I'm including savings accounts, and I'm including money in your pocket. I'm including the Treasury of the United States, because all of those things have one thing in common, money. They're different aspects surrounding or plugging into one thing. So when God talks about loving the world, it only is talking about one thing, but it's got different spokes coming at it. And that one thing is that it leaves God out. It is that organized, pre-planned system that wants to draw you out from the will and the way of God. That's worldliness. It is Satan's job to get you to not merely be in the world, but to fall in love with it. Jesus made it plain in John 17, Father, don't take them out of the world. God has not called you to be a monk or a monkette. He's not called you to some monastery somewhere where you are avoiding the world. No, he expects you to live in the world without loving it. To love something is to seek its highest good, to seek its greatest advancement. You love the world, I love the world, and we love the world when we choose it over God. You love the world not merely in your affections, but also in your decisions. When you choose this world order, let me say it another way, when you choose to put God over on the sideline so you can enjoy the world, you have now loved it. You can be in it, you can benefit from it, you can utilize it, but what he does say is you are not to love it. That is, when you are faced with a decision between me and this world order, the question is, who you love? Because that will be reflected in the choice made. God does not want to compete with his arch enemy, the devil, because this world lies in the hands of the evil one. And the evil one's goal is to get you to fall in love with the world. The Bible says in Romans 12, 2, be not conformed to this world. The word conform means to be pressured by it to exclude God. Years ago, it was easy to include God because at least God was respected in the culture. There was a respect for God, even for people who didn't necessarily take him seriously. That respect has long gone. He says, you are not to love this world. To love it is to seek its good over and against God's will. He says, do not love it, which means don't leave me out. Don't exclude me. Don't choose it over me when you are faced with a decision.
There's always that one kid in the class that likes to point out all of the minutiae of details and kind of nitpick the things that are being said here. John is saying that we are not to love the world, and that one little kid will raise his hand and say, well, didn't John tell us in John 3:16 that God so loved the world? Yeah, that kid's always there. And didn't John say earlier in this very chapter, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, that Jesus died for our sins and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. If Jesus loves the world and God loves the world, why is it that we're not supposed to love the world? Well, it's very clear what John is getting at in this point, and we shouldn't lose the forest despite the trees, right? We need to understand that when he's talking about the world, he's describing the fact that we cannot be moved and operated by the kingdom of this world, the treasures that this world contains, that we are meant to love others, not from the sources that are in this world already, but by clinging to the vine. That's the main theme in 1 John. He's pulling from Jesus' statement in John chapter 15, as Jesus was talking about abiding in the vine. It's one of those I am statements. I am the true vine. Abide in me, and you will bear much fruit. This love that we're supposed to have is meant to come from God. It's a pure love. It's an unconditional love. It's a love that is designed to show us that the treasures that this world has, all of these things are corrupting. We want a love that is incorruptible. And it's very dangerous for us to find the things in this world, to hold on to them. I'm reminded of the story, you know, we all know the J.R.R. Tolkien story of the Fellowship of the Ring, right? The ring is a representation of the power of this world, the temptation to hold on to it, to use it, to get rich with that ring. And it embodies everything that is evil, the love of money, the love of treasures, the love of all of these things that are passing away. And Jesus says, do not be caught up in that delusion. Don't be caught up in that temptation and love the treasures and the things of this world, where moth and rust corrupt, where thieves will break in and steal, where you will end up without a treasure in the end. But instead, invest your treasures in heaven, where moth and rust don't corrupt, where thieves cannot break in and steal, where it is safe and it is secure. As Jesus says, I am going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus is already securing for us our eternal reward, and we look forward to being with him, where we can share in something that will not pass away and will not be stripped away, cannot be robbed from us. That is the treasure we ought to seek. So seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And don't worry about the other treasures. Those will be added to you. God will take care of you, giving us our daily bread and giving us bread when we ask for it. He's not going to give us a stone. God will take care of us. But we are to focus our hearts and our attentions on the things that matter most, mattering most to God, the treasures of the kingdom of God, eternal treasures. I hope that this has encouraged you, and if it has, I hope that you'll partner with us as a ministry. This ministry is 100% supported by listeners just like yourself. In fact, the only way that we can stay on the air is because of your generosity. Would you write back to us and send us a word of encouragement along with a contribution? Write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call. It's 508-362-7070. You can also head over to our website at songtime.com, or you can look us up on social media. Don't forget to tune in again tomorrow as we continue our study with Dr. Tony Evans with a convicting message that really scathes all of us in realizing how tempting it is to invest in the things that will pass away.
If you love the world, you lose daddy. So the question is, do we really want the closeness of God we talk about, the answers to prayers we desire, or do we want the world?
On behalf of everyone here at Songtime, we want to thank you for listening. From Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller with our theme verse, 1 John 3:23-24. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us.